Bushels of fun. Now the jingle hop has begun. Jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle bell rock. Jingle bells chime and jingle bell time. Dancing and prancing in Jingle Bell Square. In the frosty air.
Good morning, Saskatchewan. No, not Evan Bray. Evan's still under the weather. He'll be back in here doing the great job that he always does in the new year. Brent Laux, happy to be filling in on the Evan Bray Show again here today on this Wednesday, December 24th, a day that's called Christmas Eve. Are you into the Christmas spirit? Oh, man, it's just been an odd season, I find, for myself anyway. But as families are getting together, doing some traveling, the good news is weather looks like it's going to be reasonably good over the next few days. Price of gas, I see, went up a little bit yesterday. Of course, that always seems to happen when you get into a busier travel time. But we got a nice show for you through the course of the morning here. I'm here until 12 noon today, and then our special Christmas programming will kick in across the News Talk Network, CJME Regina, 650 CKOM Saskatoon. We've got some interesting guests coming for you through the course of the morning, but as is always the case, seeing as it is News Talk Radio, we'd love to hear from you. Anything on your mind today at any point through the morning, you can send me a text. Maybe it's a Christmas greeting. Maybe something's kind of bugging you. No matter what's on your mind, take some time and give us a call or send us a text. Number to know, 1-877-332-8255. Had to think about that. 1-877-332-TALK. And you get to hear Evan Bray a few times through the course of the show. He's done some wonderful interviews, including this one with Premier Scott Moe.
Premier Moe, thank you very much for taking the call today.
Oh, thank you, Evan.
So let's start with the cabinet shuffle. That happened last week. Is there any kind of method or reason behind when you make these decisions to shuffle things up?
There was, and it was about building capacity across the governing caucus, not just in the cabinet room. We're a year out from the election, and we have, as always, many capable people that are fully able to be in that cabinet room. And so this was about, giving some new people a chance to serve in cabinet that are fully capable of doing so, but also spreading the capability that we have out across the entirety of caucus. And it's really about building that capacity, and that's what this shuffle was about. And I've been planning to do something in this space for a while, and this was the first opportunity that we had to move.
I look at it through the lens of leadership, which sometimes it can be tough having conversations with colleagues to say we're moving you to a different spot or moving you out of a spot, and you've got a couple of your cabinet ministers that had only spent a year in cabinet that were moved out. Are those tough conversations to have?
Incredibly difficult, and in particular when they're not being moved out because of anything that they have done. They're being moved out so that we can build that broader goal of building capacity across the entirety of the governing caucus, of which they very much are part of that capacity building exercise. But listen, you work together each and every day with these folks, and so those are tough discussions. But again, at the end of the day, it's incumbent on each of us in our positions to make the decisions that are in the best interest of Saskatchewan people. And having that outbuilding of cabinet experience across the government of Saskatchewan, I think, is in the benefit, to the benefit of how we ultimately govern on behalf of the people we represent in the longer term.
Premier Scott Moe is my guest. I also noticed a renaming of one of the ministries, that Corrections, Policing, Public Safety Ministry. I'm assuming you're trying to signal something in that new name.
Yeah, we are. Community safety is paramount on people's minds, not just in urban Saskatchewan, but across the province of Saskatchewan. And, we're faced with some challenges across the nation. And the poisonous drugs, highly addictive substances that are in our communities across Canada, and we're no exception here in Saskatchewan. And we're going to have to take a somewhat different approach today, as opposed to the approach that we have maybe taken over the course of the past decade. You know, our goal is to provide a recovery opportunity for everyone that unfortunately has fallen into a life of addictions, and subsequently all too often, and you would have seen this in your previous service, Evan, a life of crime to support that addictive lifestyle that they have, but also increasing our investment to frontline police forces of all stripes across the province to ensure that our communities are safe as we move forward. And this is, you would have seen this in your career as a police officer right through to Chief, Evan, the challenges and the complexity of what we're dealing with in our communities with the introduction of these terrible, poisonous, addictive drugs that are available today has very much changed the face and changed the face of our communities and changed, what individuals will do to support that lifestyle. And so we need to provide help. But we also need to provide safe communities for the broader public.
We know that there has been some real steps towards trying to focus on the treatment side of things, the 500 treatment beds, which I've even heard you say likely won't be enough, but it's kind of the start of that promise. Now with this Compassionate Intervention Act, can you talk a bit about what that work is like, putting that act from a piece of legislation to operational use? What do you expect will happen over the next few months, Premier?
Well, there's 3 points that I think we focus on as we move forward. One is enforcement. Two is the recovery capacity that we have, the number of beds that we have. And then three is the access points so that we can meet people where they are and provide them that entry point into a recovery journey. Urgent care centers are part of that. Complex needs facilities are part of that. Compassionate care is also a part of that entry, an access point to a recovery lifestyle. And it's an access point that is being driven by families. Families that may have lost a loved one to addictions, to an addictive lifestyle, or in some cases even lost their life, unfortunately. But it's those families that have stepped forward and said, if we could just have some piece of legislation or law that would allow us or a police officer or a physician to step in and to help streamline the opportunity that our brother, sister, child had to access recovery services, that would have been helpful in our case. And so this legislation is coming forward at the request of families, and we put it forward in the last day so that we can much discuss about how it is going to be most effective for those individuals and those families impacted as it's being implemented in, later this spring.
Let's shift to healthcare, Premier, if we can, for a second. We've seen some advancements in healthcare. The urgent care centers, I think, have been certainly the one in Regina. I've heard really good feedback on it. Have you got a sense of how these facilities are going to help? Are they the return on investment that you had hoped?
Yes. They started as a pilot project. The one in Regina, very shortly, we'll have one up and operational in Saskatoon. And we've already committed to building another one in both Regina and Saskatoon, as well as one in Prince Albert, one in Moose Jaw, one in North Battleford. And that is step one, is to have that innovative discussion about how can we deliver healthcare services in a little bit different way that is going to help the broader healthcare delivery and the broader goal, which is to put the patient's healthcare access first and foremost. What the urgent care center has done in Regina is really helped with the wait times at our emergency rooms. And that's important because they were starting to become chronic. And we have made an impact on those wait times in Regina, and we hope to make an equal impact in Saskatoon and then double down on that impact as we build additional facilities. The facilities are part of the solution. The innovative, offering healthcare in new and innovative ways, whether that be virtual care, scope of expansion talks that are all coming in the next number of months. But we still need additional people. What we're dealing with, what healthcare frontline workers are dealing with in complexity of healthcare challenges that people have when they walk through the front door of any of our healthcare facilities across the province has also changed in the last number of years. And they need the resources in people to help deliver that patient's first level of care that we desire and they desire to deliver. But we also need to have that innovative discussion about how are we delivering healthcare today and how can we do so better tomorrow, always putting the patient first.
More of our conversation with Premier Scott Moe after this break. You're listening to The Evan Bray Show on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.
I want a hippopotamus for Christmas. Only a hippopotamus will do.
Okay. Christmas Eve morning, Brent Laux filling in again for Evan. Evan dealing with the flu. He'll be back in the chair. You have a nice long Christmas break, and he'll be back here in 2026. Here's more of his conversation, the year-end conversation with Premier Scott Moe.
Is there anywhere, Premier, in the country that you look at, or maybe even outside the country for that matter, that is on a journey, on a path to solving some of these real complicated healthcare problems?
We're always having those discussions. Healthcare is always at every meeting we have, whether it be the premiers and certainly a forefront of the meetings that the health ministers have across the nation. And there is a very open dialogue to adopt best practices, adopt things, you know, policies that are working, and then maybe set aside, equally as importantly, policies that aren't working. There's some things that have happened with the relationship with the regulatory bodies we've seen in other places, like, for instance, Nova Scotia, some in other areas, somewhat controversial. Some have gone quite well, and the regulatory bodies do have a role to play, as and will have a role to play in this province as we embark on, I think, significant scope expansion across the board in the months ahead. And so that is some work that we have looked to other jurisdictions as to how do we advance that discussion in a way that's going to offer a higher level of efficiency in how that healthcare is delivered from the healthcare provider's perspective, but ultimately is going to put the patient first and put the care of that patient at the forefront of everything that we do. So that's one example. There are many others as well that where we have those discussions with other provinces on adopting best practices, but also setting aside some practices that maybe haven't worked in our jurisdiction or others.
Premier Scott Moe is my guest, Premier of Saskatchewan. I just told a story on the air not long ago that I was raised on a farm by a dad who believed that you save the money you need to buy something and then you buy it. You don't go get a loan. You don't, put yourself into debt. You save and then you buy it. He did that with sheds, tractors, you name it. And so there's a big part of me that still has this real reaction to debt. And when I see our national debt, which is at an all-time high, measured in marks that's hard to get your head around, provincially, we also have some challenges. We're running a deficit. And I'm curious to know you're a rural Sask guy as well. What is your thought on our debt and on the priority that you put on that versus all of these other challenges that you're trying to solve? And most of them involve spending.
Yeah, the goal is to have a balanced budget in this province, and the fact that we have one of the lowest debt to GDP ratios in the nation is a small solace for where we are. We have the lowest deficit per capita across Canada as well. However, we still have a deficit, and the goal is to not have a deficit year in, year out in this province. Not unlike what your father's goals were and the values that he instilled in you. That being said, when you look across Canada, we have some very real challenges to the public finances, particularly economic challenges that are manifesting themselves on the revenue line of our federal budget, as well as provincial budgets across the nation. Now, we're doing well, probably the strongest relative to other provinces. However, that is not the goal of the government. Our goal is to get to a balanced budget here in Saskatchewan. And I'd say that whether it be federal or provincial level, if governments are serious about achieving that in the next year, there's going to be some very difficult decisions that are going to be made, going to have to be made on the expense side of the ledger. And we'll be getting into, you know, what those decisions look like over the next number of months.
Your messaging has been very consistent when it comes to threats of tariff, trade issues, United States as a trade partner. As you reflect back on 2025, are you happy with the position that you took, which was not exactly the same as, for example, what Doug Ford was wanting to see happen from Ontario?
I'm happy with the position that we've taken. Tariffs, wherever they're implemented, somebody's going to pay. The American tariffs that are implemented on products coming into the United States of America, Americans are paying for those tariffs, and counter tariffs, by that same extension and argument, Canadians would pay for those. And so I'm happy with the position we took, and I'm happy to see that the federal government has, you know, largely, somewhat quietly, come to that realization and that very same position. I wouldn't say I'm yet happy with the outcome. We have a great opportunity in Saskatchewan and Canada when we look at what we do and what we have to offer the world in the mid to long term time frames. However, in the short term and the immediate term, we have some very choppy economic waters. We're faced right now with tariff or market access issues in our three largest markets around the world, United States, China, and India. And that very much is having an impact on the level of revenue coming into our ag industry, into our fertilizer industry, mining industry, as well as our oil and gas industry. And I would say more broadly across Canada, the steel and manufacturing industries as well. So we have some short-term challenges. So I'm not happy with the outcomes as of yet with the U.S., China, or India. However, the approach is one of that is focused on getting to the negotiating table, getting to the bargaining table. I'm still convinced that is the one that is going to work and is going to allow us to actually achieve what we want to achieve, which is as broad-based and wide tariff and market-free access to as many countries as possible.
Premier Scott Moe in conversation with our Evan Bray. We'll have a little bit more of the Premier's year-end conversation here coming up after the top of the hour. Good morning, Brent Laux filling in today on the Evan Bray Show. You're listening to 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.